ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike. Welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
And I'm John O'Lobster. Video game movies have a long history of disappointing fans, and perhaps no video game franchise has been more beloved in a wider variety of formats than Pokemon. From the original Game Boy game to collectible card games to the augmented reality game Pokemon Go, Pikachu and his ilk of pocket monsters have captivated fans and garnered zealous devotion. And though Pokemon has inspired many animated stories, it always seemed unlikely that there would ever be a live-action version. The 2016 spin-off game Detective Pikachu presented the perfect opportunity to bring Pokemon to the big screen. But is this movie a gotta catch in the theater, or is it not effective at bringing the game to life? I'm going to toss it to Wing first as our Pokemon expert.
Yeah, I was waiting for this so much, and I have to be honest, it didn't disappoint at all.
Okay.
This is the first time I get out of a video game movie, and sure, I could live there. It would be great, actually, except for the old buddy swapping kind of thing. That kind of sucked, because you don't want to be in a Psyduck and have a headache every day. Trust me. But besides that, man, I love that thing. They really got that that perfect balance in there of not being too lavish to any game, but using an adventure game that they add in that storyline to make this story go. And I'll be honest, I'm impressed. This is another case of a lean, what, it's a 98 minutes, something like that.
It's an hour 42, yeah. So oh. I mean, it's up there.
It's pretty short, and it's perfect, because
yeah.
At some point, I'll point out when we get there in the movie, but at some point they are almost going too long before reining it back.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
So I'm really, really, really happy with it. And when you said maybe one of the most beloved franchise, this is the biggest franchise on the planet.
Well, right. Now, I was going to say, you know, Super Mario, who we covered in January a year or two ago.
Dear goddess.
Right. So there are big video game franchises and like well-recognized video game franchises. But I think what's impressive about Pokemon is it went from the Game Boy game to the card game, which was super popular, and then Pokemon Go was a phenomenon. Like, I played Ingress, which was another kind of augmented, smartphone based, but also geo, whatever.
Well, there's a bigger story in this, is that it's the same company, so they created Ingress to map
right.
the world
right.
to make
to do
Pokemon
it. To do
Go.
It, yeah. So that, to me, like, again, I'm probably the least Pokey familiar here. I don't know, Beef, if you have any sort of background. Okay, yeah. So
you me watch cartoon of Pokemon at your
right.
place.
Like, I never got into any of it. It just kind of missed me. And I remember when the cartoon was on and the Game Boy was a big deal. I never had a Game Boy. I never watched the cartoon. I never got into it, right? But I kind of always thought it was interesting because I grasped the concept of it, right? Like, it's yep. collectible critters, and then you do stuff with them, right? Like, you train them and fight them and catch them and trade them, and it's a whole thing. So I always thought it was kind of nifty. I just never, like, glommed onto it, but I was kind of excited to see this movie just based on the world building and the character design, which I always thought, you know, was pretty cool. So
an idea of the perfect moment for me that this movie comes up. I've never played Pokemon before 3 years ago, and it was like the 20th anniversary or something around this, and Shark Taco wanted to play one. And since I had a concussion, that was a game that I was able to get through because it's not too complicated if you don't mm-hmm. want it to be. If you want it to be, though, I can get into stats with you like baseball right. cards. Sure. So in the last 3 years, I've played all of them. Simple as that. I have a version in some ways of all of them right now at home. So playing, having this movie now is just like cap off 3 years of intense Pokemoning.
Beef, what was your read on this whole thing? Like, where did you stand in like, I don't think you had much interest in watching this, and we kind of
made me, you fucking forced me. No, I
about time.
I was spoiled with the Game Boy because I had a really cool aunt, so I had one of the first gen Game Boys. But this, I don't ever remember this in anywhere in my, even in my view up until the card trading game. And then it was still, why are you, I didn't get it, right? I kind of got sports trading cards, and I was more like the Marvel cards. So this just became a phenomenon on all different levels, and all of a sudden you have Pokemon Go, where a couple of years ago I'm visiting Wing in Canada, and I'm using his phone and Shark Taco's phone to like take pictures of things so that they can capture. I was so confused, but whatever, it was something to do. And I don't know, I didn't know how this movie would go, right? I mean, how do you make a, I didn't know there was a story behind it. I don't even know if this story is conducive with the greater story, if there is one, but I was kind of entertained. I mean, I kind of had fun with it, the way they blended the whole story. It was, it kept my attention at least for the hour and a half or hour and 40 minutes it was. I didn't really shut it off.
You're talking about the main story, and this is where I think Pokemon would get you, because you've heard that Pokemon always come in two games, like red and blue, black and white. You know, you see where it goes.
Like two sides, like yin and yang.
Exactly. Right. Okay. So those represent two part of their of the multiverse. And now there's a timeline going with that, and there's a time god that plays with all that bullshit. So,
huh?
If you want to get really technical when you get into the story of Pokemon, you can go back to the creation like you're reading Lord of the Ring, to give you an idea. It's
But this movie, it simplifies a lot of that in saying, and we get kind of a documentary.
Yeah,
like,
in the beginning.
I have, like, there are a lot of cliches and tropes that go into the world building. Have you guys seen Zootopia?
No.
Oh, yeah, it's the same.
It's the same movie. Like, yeah. This is literally the same movie. So, Zootopia is, they're people but animals. Every person is an animal.
I think I saw the trailer,
right?
Yeah. That's like the sloth guy or whatever.
There's, you know, you live out in the country, and then you go to the big metropolis where all the species live together in harmony, and it's supposed to be this utopia, but some animals start going crazy for some reason, and then they have to solve the mystery and find a partner who doesn't want a partner. Okay, so it's literally the same movie. Sorry, Pokemon Detective Pikachu, you ripped off Zootopia.
Did Zootopia came out?
2 years ago.
So... at the same time as they released the game, so they were probably writing that at the same time.
Yeah, I don't know, but the way the film executes it is very similar. That's it.
Oh yeah.
So the film sets up that Pokemon have always existed, and since the ancient Egyptians made Pokeballs, we've been able to harness them and train them
out of plastic.
No, don't worry,
they're made
papyrus.
Out of apricorn.
They're made out of apricorn?
Yeah.
What is an apricorn?
Okay. Is it an
like
apricorn?
It's like a big nut that grows on top of trees.
I don't think we have those in the States, but...
No, you don't.
Apricot?
Apricorn.
Okay.
It's a Pokemon thing.
It's a thing.
Oh, okay.
So, but in the universe here... Pokemon, I guess, basically, it's, you know, cage fighting with dogs.
That's what Pokemon is.
I know.
but they didn't do that here.
they actually do. They literally put them in a cage and have them fight, but let's not talk about that.
Yeah, but they say it's illegal.
So, the idea here is that you're... you eventually kind of choose a Pokemon, or a Pokemon chooses you, and that's like your one thing, right? Like you have this one, at least in the movie. I know the games are different because it's got to catch them all. You get as many as you can. But the movie sets it up like you're supposed to choose or be chosen by a specific Pokemon of a particular type that matches your style and personality and whatever, and then you kind of level it up along the way.
That's kind of the concept of the starter Pokemon, but they're just trying to make it so that it's not, I'm going to enslave you to do my bidding.
And I'm going to keep you in a ball in my pocket. That's literally what it's talking about. Pokemon, monsters.
I had beans last night. Sorry, Pikachu.
Yeah,
but when you look at the story, there's like two beats that are clearly studio mandate. They need to at least try to catch a Pokemon.
Yeah.
And they don't get to catch the Pokemon. The Pokemon's piss and the human get...
Yes.
Retribution.
He gets boned, quite literally.
And the other thing was they need to fight at some point, and they make that a illegal cage file.
So it's illegal to have your Pokemon fight each other unless you're a professional or a criminal. Okay, fine. So the thing
of professionals, criminals. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Rhyme City, which is where this is all set, is like this utopia that I guess the city was built in 10 years because they're having the 10-year anniversary parade. That seems a little suspect when especially we see Tim living in a fully formed building like 10 years ago. It's the time doesn't make sense. But so the Pokemon here they aren't all paired with a human. Some of them are like homeless people or hobos or
in this version they're basically using them half as animal, half as Pokemon, because I haven't seen a bird, but I've seen a bunch of Pidgeotto.
Well, that's the other thing that I wonder, because you never see a dog or a cat or a cow, or I mean,
well, you don't need a cow, you have a milk tank.
Do they eat them?
Yeah, they eat slowpoke tails. That's one of the things. You need to stop, like, Slowpoke Tails Poacher at some point.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, no, so, Pokemon is fucked up.
That was something I was like, okay, first off, someone is on a date with Jigglypuff, right? Like that's a thing.
Poor guy that his friend is Jigglypuff. You're always sleeping.
Right. So the big fat ones are Snorlax, right? They fall asleep basically in traffic, and you know that causes problems.
In the game, they're immovable in certain paths, so you need to like sing them a song so they move. So that's fun that you see them in traffic. It's kind of a callback.
So there's also ones in the wild, ones that are you know, kind of like animals, but in the city, like we see the monkey ones that swing around. And also they're fucking genetically experimenting on them, and
because we would,
right? Like, this is the worst of humanity. Like, on every level, this is the worst of humanity in this fun kids movie, which I honestly kind of enjoyed, because if other than Zootopia, if there's one movie I would compare this to, it's Blade Runner, and
yes, the style.
Everything, like, okay, so Blade Runner, especially kind of Blade Runner 2049, like, is literally this movie, which is insane to me. Like, this movie has a very, like, Blade Runner feel of the city, which London, but also Tokyo, which is kind of interesting.
Tokyo.
Yeah,
that's the idea, that was to mix these two cities together and get something brand new.
And the whole detective story and the amnesia and the conspiracy and the fake out at the end, when it's, you're like, aha, but it's really this, which we all kind of saw coming.
No shit.
And the ultimate twist of the film, which I got from the trailer, but... never said out loud because I didn't want to be that guy, but it just, it's all very Blade Runner-esque. But
Very twisty. Oh, that's very twisty. Fun as hell to look at, I would say. Like, just the visuals alone of this film.
I will definitely agree to that.
How many times were you looking at anything but what you were supposed to? Because there's all that other shit in the background that's just more amazing than the performance of the actor, which I'm not dinging, but the first time that I'm seeing Pokemon in the wild, I don't care about them right now.
I like Karen Soni, who's his friend at the beginning, from a bunch of stuff, and he's Dopinder in Deadpool.
Yes!
I like that guy so much that I really wished he was the lead of the film, because I don't really like Justice Smith that much.
But you've seen that he's going on his trainer path.
Right.
The start.
I want his sequel. Like, I want him to be the sequel.
And he's been signed for 3 movies.
That's
so good.
That's fine. So, like, but I thought that it was well cast. I mean, anything that Bill Nye is in, you know, we love him from About Time and Love Actually and a whole bunch of stuff that he does.
Underworld?
Underworld. Very
is
good. Harry Potter.
Or you see Bill Nye and it kind of spoiled the movie right away. Well,
yes.
The fact that Pikachu tells you that they're getting into a bad guy car, too. But
yes. But how about the fact that the guy who in Godzilla said let them fight is the head detective?
Yeah, that's
pretty good,
that's
right?
That's pretty cool. And Beef, I think we found your Pokemon.
What's that?
A Snubbull.
The grumpy dog?
The grumpy pink bulldog?
Sure. I'd rock a pink bulldog, I guess. Why not? Mm-hmm.
It's super loving and everything, but it's like Chloe. When somebody else tried to touch it, like, rawr!
That's true. That is true. I could dig that.
Yep.
I enjoyed Catherine Newton as Lucy, the reporter. Her character could have been a little bit more fleshed out, I think. She has the most annoying Pokemon in existence.
She has the best Pokemon in existence.
Psyduck?
Psyduck. Come on.
Okay, wait. So Pokemon can only say their own name, right? That's all they say?
Yes and no. Pikachu can only say Pikachu.
Says Pika, right? He doesn't even say Pikachu.
No, but what he can say is Pikachu. And now Pikachu. You know, he can play with these syllables to make phrases. The thing is that actual Pokemon other than Pikachu basically scream in 8 bits or 16 bits. And even when they create new one, they still scream the same way. I don't know why. But in the cartoon, they repeat their name because, and that is true, the focus group wanted to make sure that the kids remember the name of the toys that they want to buy.
Good.
So if they repeat it 3 times, so they're like, here you go, problem solved.
Smart. So that's where their names come from, right? Like Ludicola says his name, and you know that's who he is, right?
Yep.
So what was Jigglypuff singing? Was she singing just Jigglypuff?
Jigglypuff.
Okay, all right.
Jigglypuff.
Okay, and that puts everyone in the coffee shop to sleep, and then they sell more coffee.
That is so funny to me. It's the best thing ever. And you know, coffee. I can stop anytime I want. This is a choice.
It's a choice. Okay, so
the best line of this movie is basically you never see Pikachu say them. He's always turning his back at the end of a scene or something like that. It's like they were improvising and they were like, okay, we can put it in the movie, but we're not paying a dime to animate that thing.
Right, right. Do you think this movie would not work without Ryan Reynolds as Pikachu? Like, I don't know who you would... I don't know who else you would voice cast.
They greenlit the movie on a screen test of a Pikachu with some Deadpool cut over it. So,
okay,
that's how they got the thing greenlighted. They never went anywhere for
anybody else, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I knew when we never saw the picture of the dad that it was going to be Ryan Reynolds.
Thank God.
But, right, like, that was a pretty easy twist to guess.
For us, yes, but I was trying to put my mind into, okay, all the background and all that bullshit, that's for me. That's for the 38 years old Pokemon player that's here. But all that mystery thing is for the 8 to 14 years old? If I was 8 to 14 years old, that thing is well written because I can figure it out as I go. As you and me and Beef on Legends Podcast for the last X number of years, you see every twist and turn.
Yeah, it was fairly predictable. I will say I went to a showing on a Tuesday night, and everyone in the theater was old enough to drive, except for a mom brought her two kids. And the one girl was really young. Like, she had a hard time not talking. Like, she was that kind of age.
Shut the fuck up!
Right. And I was like, come on, really? So they sat right behind me. But the boy, I think, was like right that age. Like, he was maybe 10 or 12. I don't know. But I think he was in there. He was definitely the one in the family who wanted to go see it.
Yeah, and I think that's a perfect age to see this movie right now. Or, as I said, if you like that sort of thing and you want to go see everything that's happened, all the little nuggets that I threw in there, there's a million of those in the movie if you played any of the games.
I didn't catch most of them. I mean, I figured out that what he sings is the theme song to the animated show because the audience kind of said it when they're like, oh.
But it's when, like, example, when the Magikarp evolve into a Gyarados, he's basically kicking it so it can take a level and evolve at that point. So they put game mechanic into all what the characters are doing.
Right.
That works really well for me. That was a good joke, but at the same time, it shows you that these things exist. The Psyduck heads exploding and all that bullshit was well executed. Every Pokemon seemed to have something weird, you know? Up to the monkey with a hand on their tail and no hands on their paw. It's
right. That's weird. The monkey's paw. So I think the best scene, and again, this scene, it went on for a little too long before they did the reveal. Like, you knew what it was. The giant...
the garden.
The turtle mountains, right?
Yep. Yeah, the tortoise or something like that. That was too long.
That
was
cool to look
at,
though.
An action sequence for an action sequence, though. It's people falling and nothing happened.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have Chekhov torture at the start.
Right.
You know,
sure,
they're small, and it's written that they can be big. So
how come you two gets to talk like a cool alien?
Oh, my God. This movie is technically a sequel of the original Pokemon the movie, because it basically make reference to this one. Like, 10 years ago, this happened. So they found DNA of one of the first Pokemon ever and tried to clone him. That didn't work, so they put human DNA in there and created Mewtwo. So this one is able to communicate with humans straight into your mind, is able to talk and understand us because it's kind of half-human in a certain way. But
okay. Speaking of being half-human, Detective Pikachu.
Big reveal.
Right. So, again, I know we said Ryan Reynolds, but this movie would not have worked if it was just Pika Pika all the time. Like, that's cute for exactly one scene, and then you're like,
that would have gotten really played out.
I mean, it's not... Okay, so I was trying to put this in, like, perspective of Chewbacca, right? Like, you do the character of Chewbacca who you can't understand but has different tones and sounds that he makes, and then you get it through context, right? Like, because Han Solo understands him, we as the audience can then infer what he's saying. It doesn't matter exactly. Another example, Groot.
Oh.
Well, not from Star Wars, but Groot.
Groot
says, "I am Groot," and that's all he says, right? Basically, he's a Pokemon.
He is.
But through the fact that other people can understand him, we can then get the context and things like that.
Yeah, I think for this first movie, that was brilliant to go get that game, which is one of the only ones where, well, it's actually about like a horny Pikachu. So the ending is not exactly the same. There's nobody coming out of that Pikachu at the end. It's not that weird. But the rest of the movie, pretty much the game, pretty much the same thing. But now that they have a proof of concept of how they can do the world, I have no problem like doing the quote-unquote Marvel thing and be like, okay, let's make a thriller, and it's going to be set in the Pokemon world with character from the game Red. Red and Ash are going to be the main characters. Go. Now I think you can do it after I've been seen this one, because so this is every character is going to be paired with their Pokemon. So
right. So this was film noir, yeah. Right? But, okay, so a couple things that this movie has to do. You have to have Pikachu as the main Pokemon, right? Because yes. He's the most recognizable and, sorry, Eevee, the cutest, right?
No, Eevee's the cutest. But Pikachu I think is Eevee, the face of the franchise.
I think Eevee tries too hard, but, you know, whatever. So,
don't diss Eevee. No shade on Eevee.
I don't actually know what I'm talking about. I just, like, trying to offend people that may know what I'm talking about. So you have to have Pikachu. You have to have Pikachu talk. It has to be Ryan Reynolds. You have to have this sort of reluctant hero that like understands Pokemon, but like is also going to kind of like explain his way or need his way explained through the movie.
It's very Campbellian,
right? To build this up, you have to have the city where all the Pokemon are there, and then this sort of gradually unfurling plot, but the plot is really so simple. It's just to be the vehicle for exposing you to all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I think they pull it off.
Yeah. I agree. This is never going to win a writing Oscar or whatever. Maybe a special effect one. Some of these special effects are pretty damn good.
You know, they shot on film, which I found to be interesting. They actually shot on film, wow, stock film, because they wanted to do that realistic take on it. And I think that's kind of smart.
Yeah, because if not, you get the Hobbit. So
yeah,
it's ugh. But yeah, when they go and touch each other, I mean, like Pokemon and human, you feel that there's like pressure and sure, that furry thing and all that. And they didn't make them too creepy, just creepy enough.
I would say that they really stuck with the simplistic design of the Pokemon. Like, I shared this thing. The guy who worked on it, RJ Parker, did a website called Realistic Pokemon, and they look weird. Like, they look alien.
Yes.
Whereas, like, this, it's very close to what I remember from seeing the art from the cartoon show, right? Like, they look almost like, especially like the basic ones, they look like they're off the trading card.
Oh, but all of them, even the really small one, at some point you're in the forest and you see these little rings Pokemon that are like a couple of flowers that when they close together, they make like these Hawaiian necklace, and the detail, the colors, everything is at the right place. It's amazing.
Beef, what was your overall?
Meh.
Okay.
I mean, again, I really didn't have any. It was cool to look at. The story wasn't horrible. It just, I don't know, it didn't really grab me, and I got no basis for it. I don't know. I didn't hate it.
Well,
but
I feel like we should put this one into our pockets.
Oh. It's the first time that I bring someone into my apartment. You know, I'm not that kind of Pokemon.
I don't do this often. God. Your office is a coffin. Wasn't that the line? Something like that?
Yeah, that was pretty good, too.
There was a lot of good humor in here that surprised me, because it wasn't Pokemon-related humor. It was just jokey stuff. So,
sexy Pokemon humor at some point. It's like,
it's fine. I mean,
the song is the best part, though. Pikachu's really sad. He's on a bridge, and Ryan Reynolds just goes, I want to be the very best. No one ever was. It's great. he's just taking himself so seriously at that moment. It just works. It's surprising how much that little Pikachu air ball is actually working on the screen.
It does. It plays.
Pikachu, I choose you to rate this movie. Wing for Detective Pikachu. Are you going legendary?
Ultimate form.
Legend of its time.
Super effective.
Cult legend.
Poke Runner 2049.
Awesome.
Gotta catch a sequel.
Entertaining.
You don't have enough badges to hate me.
Mayable.
Snore laxative.
Forgettable.
A wild flop appears.
Abysmal.
Ashless chaps.
Spring Breakers D&D.
The Golden Compass, because I got a strong Golden Compass vibe too. Everybody has their little daemon.
Yeah.
With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears.
With a side of pokeballs.
Balls.
Balls.
Well, there's going to be a lot of pokeballs in my rating of this one. Just as you can see during this cast, I really love that franchise. And as I said, you can start with something really simple, or you can make it as complex as you want. That's the range that they gave that thing. So it's interesting to see what they picked and choose, and that they actually adapted a video game. So for now, I'm going to put that in cult legend. Because right now it's just a little Pokemon movie with Ryan Reynolds that is working. It's not a huge hit. It's working. They're making money. But isn't this the best video game movie we've ever got? I think it is. So for now, I'm slotting it in cult legend, and I'm giving myself an option to revisit that in five years. Beef?
All right. I will see your cult legend and subtract you. I will accept your offer to maybe revisit it in 5 years, because this is something that I think would be fun with the nieces or nephews, or maybe I'd enjoy it more upon a rewatching. But I got to go somewhere around Mayable, Snore Laxative. Might be entertaining, because I did kind of have fun with it. Fuck.
Do you not have enough badges to hate it?
No, I don't have enough. And I haven't caught any Pokemon, so I don't even know. I don't have any badges. I got nothing. I'll go. It was entertaining. It really didn't catch me, so I couldn't catch them all. So you don't have enough badges to hate me, apparently. Lobster.
I'm going to say this has got to catch a sequel. I think this does the world building in a smart way. It does the introduction of the mechanics, like Wing said, the actual thing would work in the real world, and this is how it would work. And again, I love the character at the beginning that Karen Soney plays. I believe his name is Jack. And I want Jack in the sequel with whoever the more famous human Pokemon actor, you know, characters.
Trainer.
Not human. Yeah. Trainers. Thank you. Who those people are. So, again, this was Ashless. So, I wonder if they'll do that, and that'll be
I don't think they own Ash.
Oh, how does that happen?
Ash has been created by the cartoon people. He's not in the game.
Okay.
Ever. So, honestly, I'm not sure that the Pokemon company actually own Ash as a character in other media.
So, what if it was Ashley, and they were just like, well, you know, it's a female lead, so...
They could totally do
it's
that.
It's Ashley. So, you know, and they just... My friends call me Ash. So, you know, I think this movie does the legwork. It's a really simple plot, but it plays well in the film. It introduces you to all these different environments. I don't really know how this city functions. I don't like the Pokemon that have jobs. Do they pay taxes? Who does their taxes? How does that work? If a Pokemon causes a traffic accident or sexually harasses someone, how do they go through HR or like the legal system? Like, How does any of this actually work? I don't know.
Well, if there's a problem with sexual harassment, you go get in line with the Lickitongs and you wait for a couple of years.
Okay.
You know, they just go around and lick people.
Yes.
God.
So, all right. So, again, I think this does enough to justify a sequel. I kind of feel like they caught lightning in a bottle with Pikachu. I know that's his thing, but without Ryan Reynolds there bringing him to life, and I gotta say, playing off of his Deadpool cachet, I don't know if this works. Like, I don't know if you don't have the talking human voice of the Pokemon in the fun, sarcastic way, I don't know if it works. So they're going to have to figure out how to replicate that for the sequel.
Well, they have a way. They build themselves a way in there. So when you start introducing other Pokemons, I mean, they have 852 to choose from.
Holy
so
shit.
That might not even be a up-to-date
and they all
number.
Have different evolutions, right?
Yes and no. Some of them don't evolve. Some of them evolve twice. Some of them evolve 7 times.
Jesus.
You know, Eevee is the evolution Pokemon. That's kind of the point.
Okay.
So, yeah, it all depends. So you have all different stuff, but every time they make a new generation of game, basically, they introduce like another 100 to 200, something like that, and they've had 8 generations.
Well, that is what we have learned.
Last word on Pokemon Detective Pikachu.
The last
Pika, Pika.
The last Pika show.
Meh.
Beef, what time is it? Okay, big news at the box office. John Wick, Chapter 3, Parabellum, dethrones Avengers Endgame.
I've seen the funniest headline today that Avengers Endgame disappointed by not beating this record. I was like, yes, Avengers Endgame disappoint. I think that's what we need to get out of.
I mean, it disappointed by only being the second highest grossing movie of all time?
Yep. Yep. That's what's basically what they were saying. I'm not even giving the name of the thing. It's clickbait. I was like, come on, the thing has made 2.7 million at this point.
Billion?
Billion. Sorry. Yeah. Has it beaten Avatar yet?
No, but that's what, I mean, it's like 700 million away. So factor in digital DVD and whatever sales, rentals and whatnot.
They're going to re-release that like around Christmas just to get to the number. The
yeah,
same
but then
way
they're
going to
fight.
Did.
But then they're going to fight Star Wars.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's tough. So, and Disney has a movie coming out basically every month for the rest of the year.
For the rest of our lives.
For the rest of our lives. Also, look, Pokemon Detective Pikachu did okay number 3. It's only 4 million behind Avengers in its second weekend, so that's pretty cool.
It was always built to be number 2 in these after Avengers anyway,
right?
It's like counter programming a little bit. This thing cost 150 million. They made 300 million plus right now. It's profitable.
It's good.
So,
absolutely good. News wise the controversial ish news of the week, Robert Pattinson, he of the sparkly vampire movies, is in talks to play the Batman for Matt Reeves.
I have no problem with that. I remember when they casted Mr. Mom, you know?
Well, what I think they should do is have Michael Keaton come back and be the mentor figure to his young Batman.
I think they should get... Yeah, exactly. Do a Batman Beyond movie with that, but if you're to reboot with Robert Pattinson, it's the same kind of casting than when we got Christian Bale. They went for an actor, not a movie star.
So what is their game plan? Are they going to do Batman Begins again?
Seems so. the way that this actor age is, and what we've heard through the grapevine with the other casting rumor on this movie this week. I mean, they were talking about Luke Cage for Bane. So anyway, they have like their Sinister Six, quote unquote. I know I'm crossing the stream.
Right.
For this movie, that seems to be the leaks right now. So yeah, if you're to reboot with that guy, sign him for 5-6 movies. Everybody's gonna forget that he was a sparkling vampire. That's been 10 years, poor guy.
Okay.
He has a okay resume beside that bullshit. It's, so no, I'm really for this casting. Again, it's an actor, not a movie star, and I think we've proven many times that that's what you need in Batman.
Sure. Okay, superhero controversy. I am very upset that Amazon chose to cancel The Tick after 2 seasons.
No.
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to cry. This is my favorite show. I have no reason to have Amazon anymore.
Right. I feel the same way because The Tick to me was pure joy. And like Netflix canceling Santa Clarita Diet, one of my favorite new shows also is The Tick and those rat fucks.
I've read about that. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was saying like, oh, Netflix will produce anything for 3 seasons at this yes. point. And I've started researching. I was like, why is that? Is that a standard contract for a TV show is for 3 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they never want to renew these contracts.
Right.
So they're going to produce anything for 3 seasons. Once 3 seasons is out, basically you lost that momentum in the media cycle. So they don't see the interest since they're looking for subscribers that, you know, rotate. At this point, they're just like, okay, as long as we have something that buzz, always something new, well, we look like we have a huge library because Disney's leaving in 163 days. So
yeah, that's going to be the test, I think. When Disney Plus comes out for half the price of Netflix, people are going to be, you know, they're going to switch teams, I think. Speaking of streaming deals, CW had a big deal with Netflix where when a CW show ended, it was on Netflix like immediately. That's going to end with Nancy Drew, Katie Keene, and Batwoman coming up. The existing CW shows that will finish out their run and go to Netflix immediately, so your Legends of Tomorrow, your Flash, your Riverdale, which is, I think Riverdale just passed whatever Netflix's new show is and is like the most watched show on Netflix right now. So that's kind of a big deal. Like, Netflix needs to keep in mind pre-existing content that they don't produce.
Oh, that's just for America, though.
Well, okay. This was in the UK, so I don't know.
Oh, it doesn't seem to pertain to Canada, because here, like, I get the Flash.
Is Degrassi on Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay, so what if Degrassi went away?
Well,
yeah, exactly, right? Yeah, like,
that would suck.
That's how people feel about Friends or The Office not being on Netflix.
On the other hand, I'm old. When I like something, I have to disc.
Yes.
So I don't depend on the service.
But you know who doesn't? Those millennials, they don't do that.
I know, but you know.
Right, Beef?
I still have all mine, you dick.
Me too. You've seen what I did. I bought a huge suitcase just for that and put 500 DVD in this and threw away 500 boxes.
I just don't have anything in the last 5 years. On disc,
right?
Because I bought all that digital like an idiot, you know.
Except Star Wars for me.
Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy director James Gunn broke his silence on his firing and what he learned. I'm also hearing great things about Brightburn, which opens this weekend. So yeah, I want to, you know, I'm glad he's getting back in the saddle. He made Suicide Squad or The Suicide Squad sound really, really interesting. So,
good.
I'm excited. I know we championed him on this podcast many times, but it's nice to see him getting out there and talking about this painful but at the end positive story.
And I think that's important that people read these stories as a cautionary tale of what trying to be sarcastic sometime can do to you.
Right, trying to be edgy.
Yeah, just be careful. Yep.
Remember, there's only one studio left, and it's Disney. So if you want to have a career in show business that makes you a lot of money, eventually you're going to have to work for the House of Mouse.
Yeah, that's true. You have like Disney, Universal, Paramount, and Warner. Oh, yeah. Sony.
Okay. That's wow. Or you could work for HBO, and people would hate you anyway. So even when you set the all-time ratings record for the Game of Thrones finale, lots and lots of people watched it. Lots and lots of people are mad as hell.
It's funny because people signed like a petition for this season to be redone or everything, and I'm like, this for the studio, for HBO, this is a success. Yes. They only got problems in the last three episodes, and these kind of problems just give you more viewership if your show ends, and that's exactly what's happening to them. They're going to sit on this for 2 years. We're going to see a spin-off there. It's going to be Caprica-like. It's not going to start. And we're going to be done with Game of Thrones. We're going to move to the rest. But
I mean,
it's done.
It's done, but Deadwood's getting a movie. Sopranos is getting a movie. You know, HBO does this thing where they'll sit on something for 10 years and go, hey, remember that? You forgot you hated the finale. Let me remind... Or Deadwood, they canceled, right? Like, HBO canceled Deadwood. Like, they're like, let's forget that we canceled Deadwood and just go back to that feeling of good and then show you what Drogon is going to do and what happens and all that. All right. Christopher Nolan's new film will be called Tenet. Has a cast and will begin shooting. It's going to be an espionage thriller. One thing that I picked out about the title.
Did you do the same thing I did when you saw the title?
It is a palindrome, which is, I mean, well, at first I looked up the definition of what a tenet is. Okay. It's a religious, core religious doctrine of dogma, basically the tenets of our faith. But it's also a palindrome. It is spelled the same forwards as backwards. So, knowing that Christopher Nolan likes to play with time in his films, right? Is this movie going to be a palindrome?
Maybe. Maybe. We'll see what's going to be the time thing. This one seems to be exploring fate. So, if he's exploring fate, we're going to play with time in some way, shape, or form. But look, he found a way to play with time in a war movie, and that was subtle. So
this is Michael Caine, Kenneth Branagh, Aaron Taylor-Johnson, Clemence Posey, Robert Pattinson, Elizabeth Debicki. It is described as an action epic evolving around the world of international espionage. So, kind of like the Da Vinci Code, if it plays with religion.
Wait. Robert Pattinson is starring in a Christopher Nolan movie that
and
is
going to be
shooting right now.
Yep.
Like right now,
and he's going to be in Batman.
That he's going to be Batman right now.
Right
I think
after.
Warner went to do some consulting with Mr. Christopher Nolan and was like, "Ooh, you cast," and he was like,
"Bobby Pats."
Twilight Boy, come on. And when you look at him, he looks like Christian Bale.
Yes, he does. And finally, big cover story in Vanity Fair. Their Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker exclusive. Behind the scenes, awesome photos, awesome plot details. They explain how they're going to bring Carrie Fisher back into it. I don't want to say any of it right now, but you can check this out. Amazing, amazing read.
Yep, these pictures are amazing.
As always, Annie Leibovitz, yeah.
Yeah, I'm starting to stay away to too much material. It's the last time that we can do something like this, so I'm not scratching too far.
All right.
Look at the picture, and I think I want a frame of that Luke and R2 together.
All right, massive trailer dump coming at you. We're going to start with TV shows. His Dark Materials, speaking of The Golden Compass.
I thought that felt like that.
Yeah. Well, it is that. It literally is that, except dark and the way it should have been. Not a movie for kids.
Okay. It's literally that? Oh.
Yeah, okay. It's so his Dark Materials is the name for the trilogy of Golden Compass, Subtle Knife, and Amber Spyglass, right? So Robert Pullman did this whole thing, or no, sorry, Philip Pullman did this whole thing, and the Golden Compass was the first one, but it's called His Dark Materials, and this is that.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that looks
fun. It's going to be an HBO/BBC type production.
Yeah.
Good.
I can't wait for Batwoman, though.
Yeah, talk us through it.
Yeah. This is just like a old first look kind of trailer. So if you're interested in the show, don't go and get it, because it's basically a recap of the first episode in 2.5 minutes. Basically, but you go through mostly the situation in Gotham at that moment and how she would stumble across becoming Batwoman. So It looks interesting if you like these CW Flash shows and all of that. And this is basically a dark version of Supergirl. It's even playing at the same time.
Yeah. So. The suit's already perfect. No, it doesn't fit a woman.
Yeah, it looks fun.
Right. It does look fun. All right, Black Mirror coming back with 3 new episodes. The first one is Rachel, Jack, and Ashley 2.
Amazon Echo or Alexa.
Child's Play, yeah. Chucky. Take the cord out of my butt. Oh, my God.
See, none of these really jumped out any more than the other ones, the 3 Black Mirror, because I'm going to watch them all anyways. They're free.
Right,
you know?
Absolutely. Smithereens looks awesome. It's got Moriarty, right?
Oh, that's who that was.
Yeah.
And Striking Vipers with Falcon.
Yeah. All look good.
All look great, but a couple more TV shows we should mention coming up. And I had a hard time deciding which I was going to save for last year, but Beef.
First of all, I wish this trailer wouldn't have been posed to me as the Westworld trailer, because it opens with Aaron Paul in some futuristic setting. And I would have been like, I'm in whatever this is. I'm in. He's sitting around on a skyscraper with a robot. And then he's talking about his boring life and how he can't get out of the rut. And talking about the rough edges are the only thing to hold on to. And then it looks like he's robbing a bank or something with some buddies. Yep. And he says the last line, he's like, I think the only way I'm going to get better is I need something real, something or someone to hold on to that's just real. And he sees Dolores and he's like, can I help you? Oh, fucking looks so good. Just from like a minute and 30 seconds. I'm ready for my Westworld Weekly.
So this is the show reinventing itself, right? You bring in a new lead character. We got rid of Teddy, right? So we know we need a new character
to protect her.
Yeah.
But is it reinventing itself? I mean, it is reinventing itself because all their sets burnt down. So they're not going back to the Western world, at least not for a couple of years. But
their set burned down?
Yeah, during the fires in California like 6 months ago.
Wildfires. Oh, yeah.
So, okay. I mean, this looks amazing. I'm ready, but I'm sad again, of course. It's a year and a half wait between seasons.
Sure.
I mean, I get it, HBO.
Are these shows so long in between seasons? I think they're losing momentum.
I think.
They totally are, and I think it's because the first season they wrote was so great, and they didn't know if it was going to be a hit, and then they wrote another one, and it was good, and then they're like, well, shit, where do we go?
Yeah. I mean, at the end of two,
they were like, oh, shit, where do we go? So.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's kind of the Game of Thrones thing again, where the show develops at a certain pace, and then you realize if we're going to drag this out for 8 seasons, the pace has to change a little bit, and then once we have the end game in mind, we're going to rush through it or not. I don't know.
Yeah, the problem with these shows is that you really need to have the end game in mind and just build to that.
Yeah.
If not, you get lost in between. And
Lost.
Yeah, in the case of Lost, it gets too long for no reason. In the case of Game of Thrones, it's too short.
Yeah.
Where they're like, oh, we would need 3 seasons, but we have Star Wars movies to write.
Right.
Okay, there you go.
Let's wrap this thing up.
They should have at least taken 2 or 4 more episodes just to give a little more connective tissue to the big plot points from this last season, to at least give a little more breathing room and a little more gravitas to what happened. But anyways,
yeah, we can all agree with that.
3 or 4 episodes a season for another 3 seasons?
No. If we only got one more season to wrap it up, no matter what, that's all the gods had written, and we had to have one, we should have gotten 8 or 10 episodes. But still, if we only got 6, fuck it. It happened. That's what happened. Star Trek.
I would have been... Yeah,
Picard.
Dude.
Picard.
Chateau Picard. I want some... I don't even drink fucking wine, but I want some Chateau Picard.
But have you watched Next Generation? This brings all the feels.
Yeah, it does.
Because they're connecting straight to the last episode.
All good things.
Yeah, it's amazing. This is my most anticipated show of the year.
Yeah.
Yes, over Star Wars.
Oh. Okay. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the second trailer. This looks great, right?
This looks really good. It looks like it's not just going to be the Sharon Tate story and stuff, which I think is phenomenal. Because I think that's all we thought it was.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
It had a 6-minute ovation at Cannes.
Yeah.
Stop it.
No, for real. People are in 2 camps that it's a pretty good Tarantino movie or it's the best he's ever done. But everybody's agreed to say that everything he's worked on ever is kind of encapsulated in this movie. And just in this trailer, I saw Inglourious Basterds.
Yep.
I saw 1 or 2 different westerns.
Yep.
I was like, oh, we're going to go back through his career through this movie. So I can't wait. I just can't wait.
Toy Story 4?
I haven't seen like the last 2 or 3, but this one looks fun.
I see that on the schedule soon.
Is it?
It would be a great idea. I think these movies are great. Not good. Great.
Which, do we go back to the start?
I would.
We'd do a whole month?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll talk about
Maybe
it.
Maybe 1 a month because
yeah,
that's
a month,
cartoon. Yeah, 1 a month,
right? That's a lot. probably what... Only I care about on this podcast, the Downton Abbey movie, The King and Queen Are Coming.
Yeah, bro, I'm sorry. I have no love for this, but I'm sure my girl will get me to watch it, and it's Brits, so I love the accent.
Yep.
So I'll stay for I'll start with that, and I'll stay for everything else, I'm sure.
Okay. And
can I stay for Linda Hamilton?
You may. Do you want to tell us what we're going to talk about?
Terminator 3.
Well, hang on. This is like the Aliens movie that we're supposed to get, where it takes out everything except for Alien and Aliens.
It's like a new Halloween.
Yes.
It's the Superman Returns.
Yeah,
we're just going to ignore the other 2 sequels.
Yep.
Or in the case of Terminator 3 in the TV show.
But you know what? I'm watching this trailer. I'm seeing Linda Hamilton being Linda Hamilton. I'm seeing these Terminator that already look more Terminator-y in my head than what the last couple of movies gave me. I'm in.
I love the cloning itself because it's liquid endoskeleton over metal over like solid, and then it can make 2 versions of itself. I have a tiny little nerd boner right now. I watched this trailer 3 fucking times.
Yeah, I love this. This is going to be way better than Jenny Smith, so we're good.
And how great does Cameron look from Halt and Catch Fire in this as the human Terminator hybrid, whatever she is?
She looks
I don't even know what she's from, but she looks like a badass.
But you look at her, and she already looked more like what Linda Hamilton looked like in 2 than anything we've got since. It's like the aesthetic works. I don't know if it's because she's beside Linda Hamilton. Maybe. But it's the first time that I got that visceral feeling of Terminator that I had in 1991.
Right.
And we've talked about Terminator every 2-3 years.
Sure. All right, that was a big dump of news. Whew, I feel empty.
Wow, that was really kind of Disgusting.
Yes.
Let's get dessert.
Oh, shit. My news is closed. Sorry.
What are we talking about next week? Because I don't remember. It's been a while since we looked at the schedule.
I just closed the list, too.
Yeah, I'm going to open Star it right
Trek.
Now.
Star Trek 09, 10-year opinion, second opinion.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
This is exciting. Okay, so we're going to talk about Star Trek.
10 years.
J.J. Yeah. Abrams, 10 years ago, I think this past weekend. So this was the reinvention of Star Trek, basically, for modern audiences. It was the first new Trek we'd had in a while, and it was J.J. Abrams' audition tape for Star Wars, which he is about to close out this year. So I think there's a lot of reasons to go back and look at this again, and I am super excited to talk about it.
Woo!
Woo. Right.
So take this Trek
and shovel it. This has been episode 423 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, ooh, look at that, Brightburn.
I'm John D saying, Pika Pika, I made you watch Pokemon.
And I'm John Lobster saying, live long and Pika Pika.
Oh, and that chick version of Superbad comes out this weekend.
Booksmart.
Yep.
Directed by Olivia Wilde.
I love her. I love her. We'll marry her someday. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com and KrakenCast.com. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.Lipson.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at Incomputech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legendstream Canada, GunnaGeek, or KrakenCast. No infringement is intended.